So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, and it's reading from verses 31 through to 37. The chapter is entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. This is the verse 37. I'll read the other verses first, and then we'll come up to 37, and we can all... It's translation. Shukadev Goswami said, "When King Satyavrata spoke in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who at the end of the Yuga had assumed the form of a fish to benefit his devotee and enjoy his pastimes in the water of inundation, responded as follows." Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O King, who can subdue your enemies? O King, who can subdue your enemies? On the seventh day from today, the three worlds, Bhu, Bhuvaha, and Swaha, will all merge into the water of inundation. Trilokyam liya manayam. When all the three worlds merge into the water, a large boat sent by me will appear before you. Thereafter, O King, you shall collect all types of herbs and seeds and load them on the great boat. Then accompanied by the seven rishis and surrounded by all kinds of living entities, you shall get aboard that boat, and without moroseness, you shall easily travel with your companions on the ocean of inundation, the only illumination being the effulgence of the great rishis." Text 36. "Then, as the boat is tossed about by the powerful winds, attach the vessel to my horn by means of the great serpent Vasuki, for I shall be present by your side." Then comes this verse, 37. Translation: "Pulling the boat, with you and all the rishis in it, O King, I shall travel in the water of devastation until the night of Lord Brahma's slumber is over." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This particular devastation actually took place not during the night of Lord Brahma, but during the day. For it was during the time of Chakshush Manu. Brahma's night takes place when Brahma goes to sleep. But in the daytime, there are 14 Manus, one of whom is Chakshush Manu. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that although it was daytime for Lord Brahma, Brahma felt sleepy for a short time by the supreme will of the Lord. This short period is regarded as Lord Brahma's night. This has been elaborately discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The following is a summary of his analysis. Because Agastya Muni cursed Swayambhuva Manu, during the time of Swayambhuva Manu, a devastation took place. This devastation is mentioned in the Matsya Purana. During the time of Chakshush Manu, by the supreme will of the Lord, there was suddenly another pralaya or devastation. This is mentioned by Markandeya Rishi in the Vishnu Dharmotara. At the end of Manu's time, there is not necessarily a devastation. But at the end of Chakshush Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his illusory energy, wanted to show Satyavrata the effects of devastation. Srila Sridhar Swami agrees with this opinion. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita says, "Madhye mantanvarasyaiva mune sapam manu prati pralayo so babu veti purani kvachid iryate ayam akashmiko jatas chakshush asyantare mano pralaya padmanavasya lilayati cha kutrachit sarvo mantan manvantarasyante pralayo nishchitam bhavit vishnu dharmotare tvetat markandayena basitam. Manor, how about that? Manorante layonasti manave darshi mayaya vishneti bruvanaistu swami bir naisa manyate. And that's the end of the purport. So some of us may be required to study Sanskrit, Ananda, because there's no translation to all of that. But it's just the Sanskrit. Prabhupada is obviously relating it here, or citing it here, in support of what he just said, quoting Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That was the Prabhupada started speaking. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur giving an explanation, which concurs with Rupa Goswami's explanation in the Lago Bhagavatamrita, which is fine because it concurs with the explanation given by Srila Sridhar Swami, the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. So the case for this, now obviously a strong case for this is being presented, because in the verse itself, it states that this all happened in Lord Brahma's night. So here's a contradiction in terms here, because he's stating here that in the day of Lord Brahma, how many Manus are there? 14 Manus. And we're talking about now in the time of one Manu. So how can it be Brahma's night? Because this is right in the middle of his day. So obviously there's a contradictory matter here. And what's being said in the verse, I mean, isn't that the pramanam that we better embrace with, you know, with our both hands or our mind? How dare anybody? isn't it? We say, look, Prabhupada translated directly the Sanskrit to the English so that you can see the verses exactly what's there in the Sanskrit. And then we don't want to say, and then he completely contradicts what's said in the Sanskrit in his commentary. And we accept his commentary more than we accept the Sanskrit. That sounds like a certain type of fanaticism. Isn't it? Like when we become completely overwhelmed by an individual. They say that like in personality cults, when religions turn into personality cults. Then we become so meek in adoration of the great personality that then they are the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything. And that's, you know, we consider that's a very unhealthy situation to be in, perhaps, where you or where we equate to perhaps absolute zero ourselves before the great person that's overwhelmed us, our will in every way. My brother's also a devotee, my younger brother, and he became so wrapped up in one of our leaders of our society at one time, somebody who after time left, that it was very difficult to differentiate between what my brother was saying or what this person was literally saying through my brother, meaning that whatever my brother said, it didn't sound like him anymore. It sounded like the other person, you know. So when one's own self is so, what would you say, what do you say when you're cast out, or you're not dethroned, that's important, but when you're isolated from yourself, it's almost like a state of possession. So anyway, without going into the details of all of that, I remember having a moment of reconciliation with my father. A good man, a good Christian man, who gave me a lot of good advice between the time in my life, which I argued against, and finally, in a great act of the search of and pursuance of the greatest ideal, I went off to become a Hare Krishna. So in a time of reconciliation with my father, years later, I'd come back from India, and I thought, you know, I have to be less argumentative and more seeking reconciliation. I said to my father, I said, the problem was it was my brother was the youngest child in the family, and it was me that preached to him, and he left home at 16 to join the Hare Krishnas. And then he left, and he had so many problems after that. I felt terrible. He had so many problems. When he had so many problems, nobody called him anymore. Even I didn't call him. I was just getting on with Sankirtan. It was all Maya. Nobody, he was living in the streets in Manchester. Maharaj knows him very well, my brother. And so it was. His life went really down very, very badly. And my family were brokenhearted. My mother roughed it in Manchester to try to get my brother to come home. But anyway, in an attempt for reconciliation, as we generally do after complete humiliation, to recover ourselves, then I said to my father, when we left home, did you feel you lost two sons? And he said, yes, I did. But he said, that wasn't what troubled me. He said, what troubled me most was, he said, your younger brother lost himself. Of course, he's recovered himself by now. But sometimes before very, very overwhelming charismatic personalities, we can lose sense of ourself in the equation. The personality cult. So therefore, we are very particular about Sadhu Shastra and Guru. Sadhu Shastra, Guru Bhakya Chiteti Koriya Aikya, Arana Korihu Mani Asya. The song goes on in the further verses of Prem Bhakti Chandrika, I think it is. There's many more verses of this song. So in one of the verses, it's exactly the same as the verse that there. Where is it? That... what's coming from the mouth of the Guru, I make it one with my heart. Isn't it? Make it one with my heart. This could be very problematic. You have to be very careful about these statements. Yes, and I remember once I was with a very senior spiritual leader who's like a guru to me in every sense in life. We were driving along the road, and an animal ran across the road in the morning. They were sitting, it was out here on the road. They said to me, whoa, a beaver. I said, a beaver? I said, that's a badger. And they said, no, that's a beaver. I said, that's a badger. They said, I know what a beaver is. That's a beaver. This is very senior guru, sannyasi, everything. And I thought, okay, it's a beaver. There's no beavers here. This is Lechmore East. I know it's a badger. I know it's a badger. But I'm accepting it's a beaver. So then I thought, no, I can't be like this. I can't be a person like this who denies knowing something for a truth which is not a truth. Because the person who's speaking it is Guru Sannyasi Swami. This is a complexity. I don't know if you've been in a similar situation. It's not that we should be audacious or, you know, hey, wait a minute. You pagal is... it's not a beaver. Anyway, I thought, how to reconcile this one, you know, with a straw of local grass between my teeth. And I said, aren't beavers those things in rivers that make dams and all that stuff? And then he went, oh, yeah, sorry. You're right. I said, yeah, that's a badger. And it was reconciled. But it was a moment where, you know, in those moments, because Guru Mukhapadma Vakya Chiteti Kuriyaikya, Aranakari, I won't accept anything else. You know, I didn't go around then, okay, now I'm starting a new animal environmental society because now we have all misunderstood that this animal that lives in holes up here, you know, that all the government agencies think is maybe transferring TB to different livestock, whatever they call them, and which has two white stripes across its head, which you all learned about in primary school, secondary school, and we all have come to know wrongly in this country as a badger. It's actually a beaver. And the thing that's in the river, you're making dams and living all, etc., 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 we're going to find a new name for that. That is like guru fanaticism. And that should not come from statements like this, Guru Vakya Chiteti Kariyaikya, that I accept these things in my heart. This Vakya is obviously, there are so many prerequisites of this Vakya. In the quality, qualification, character, and life of the person speaking, there's so much more in substance that in event one will conclude whatever this person says in my heart, I live by it. It's my code in life. There's so much substance. There's so much to understand that exists behind that poetic outburst of Narottam Das Thakur towards his beloved spiritual master. To not understand or capture or try to penetrate that substance, then we become a community of mad people. Either way mad. One madness is a good madness. The other one is, it's not beneficial. It's not a good madness. And isn't it? We've seen it, and some of us have lived it too in our lives. So, further on in this song, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya is repeated again. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Koryaikya. This tripartite, Guru Sadhu Shastra. I make these one with my heart. Yes? And when this speech comes, Guru Sadhu Shastra, the integration of these things come in the form of, I think Garuda called Tamal Krishnamurti's book, a living theology. They come together in the live performance of the sadhu, in their speech, in their words. It all comes together. And therefore, what they say, I follow that, making my life. It's a living theology. Drawing in many sources. Isn't it? Like, for, you know, there's so many shastras. If we take them to their conclusion, sometimes they go in slightly different directions. If you take the Mahabharata, you know, you read it to its conclusion, you all end up in heaven at the end, and you think, hey, what happened? This is kind of like, isn't it? The moksha parva, or whatever. You're like, what? They're all there in heaven, and all the warriors are there, everyone's in heaven. You think, what are we doing in heaven? What about all that bhakti to Krishna? What about all that, you know, Krishna and the Mahabharata and all those great things, etc., etc.? What about those? But this, oh, now we've ended up here with Duryodhana in heaven. What? Moksha. We didn't even want moksha. We wanted Krishna. And different Puranas, and isn't it? The Upanishads. The whole, like, compendiums of these texts, they're unlimited. But when they all come together and reconciled with the realization, mature realization and devotion of the Rishi, the sadhu, then that is this pramanam. That is siddhanta. It's a life performance where these things are all reconciled into a katha or the writing. That's pramanam. So sadhu, shastra, and guru, it's a tripartite, isn't it? So the guru, we listen, take to our heart. But the guru said, that's a little different from what I read in the shastra. Not sure of that. Isn't it? Like we know, for instance, if at a point in our Krishna consciousness, our guru advised us, look now, I really think that you've really developed, you're developing the real mood of Yasoda appearance in bhakti, this batsalya prem. I can see this, and I think if you start to now dress like Yasoda Mai, then this, you'll culture more this bhav. With us, it's like all the warnings, like, do. We all know that's just like no, isn't it? We all know, like, never mind that. And often the vritti, unless we're seeing some light at the end of that tunnel, there's no question. We know that. In the theology of devotion. So the vakya, when it starts to, red light, flat, warning lights go off in our head. It's going a bit. So, but when it's consistent with teachings, when anybody in ISKCON speaks consistent with the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, the teachings of that are written in his books, the teachings which are in the Bhagavad Gita, when there's a consistency, even if they say things which draws to alertness, when there's a consistency there with those texts, and then we're comfortable with that. This is a nice class. Nice class. Where the words depart, there's a watershed moment where it goes into an unknown territory where our matrix of reference then cannot accommodate it, then no. So the vakya, when it is representative of guru, sadhu, shastra, even the guru speaking, it represents guru, sadhu, and shastra. Chitete kuriya aikya. I make it one with myself and I live by the code. Live by the code. Then beyond that, we'll then say that we give even more seriousness or more attentiveness to the words of such a person when their lifestyle is consistent with their own words. This is one verse about the acharya. That they're an acharya because their life is an expression of the deep realizations they've had. Their life's an expression of the very, very deep and profound realizations of truth that they've had. It's expressed in their life. When a person's behavior departs from their speech, I'm just remembering Haridas Thakur, wasn't he, said that? That some speak nicely. What's the verse? Some speak nicely, others don't. Some speak nicely, some behave nicely. Their speech is good, behavior is bad. Their behavior is good, the speech is bad. But because your speech, achara prachara nama dui karya, tumi sarva guru, tumi jagate rarya. You're everyone's guru, man. Because your speech is in sync, your behavior is in sync with your speech. There's so many this way or that way. Great in behavior, but not so inspirational in speech, isn't it? Sometimes somebody we know is a very great devotee to give class. And Struggling. And how is the class people? Very nice. Very nice. Because we know they're such a wow, isn't it? Even it's preferable, isn't it? Better than the great speakers from the who behaves, we are inspired by their behavior, even more than the speech. But both is profound. Achara prachar, the achar. I don't know why achar has pickle that got the achar. It's exactly the same pronunciation as well. Something very good. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda. Achara prachara. Namara kari. In relation to Krishna's name, your achar, your prachar is so good. To me, Sarvaguru, you're my guru. To me, Jagatera Arya, you're a great person on this earth. These two matters must be. Therefore, also, when we hear of the speech of a guru, somebody says, I would like to. This is my Gurudev. Oh, very nice. Immediately we think. What makes someone a guru is not the labeled guru, isn't it? There's so many gurus. When we're talking about our highest aspirations in Krishna consciousness, what makes someone a guru is not that they've got a label or somebody's labeled them as a guru. Like there's in the time of, it was a European painter, he once painted this big painting of, and there was a pipe on it. He painted a pipe. It's a famous thing. You can look it up on Google. And on the painting it says, this is not a pipe. Because when you see, you think pipe. But he never painted anything. He just painted some shape. So this is not a pipe. Because we've named it that. We gave it that label, you know. We used it for inhaling. We didn't. So they did. I don't know if any of you smoked a pipe in your life. Maybe some of you did. So the pipe, this is not a pipe. We took this wood thing, we curved it, we put things in it, and we inhaled tobacco through it, and we said, that's a pipe. We put that label on it. Huh? Could be somebody's hearing horn. You know. It's not a pipe. The same way, a guru is not a guru is because of a label. Because somebody's just put a label. This is a guru. This is my guru. Good for you. Wonderful. How inspiring. But it's what is there in substance that's what constitutes who's a guru. We're talking about now a guru in Krishna consciousness. I mean, our parents are gurus. Our uncles and aunties are gurus. Isn't it? In our culture, everyone's God in some sense. Atithi, Deva Bhava, the guest. We respect everyone. It's a culture of respect. Yeah? Anyone who's a follower of the Six Goswamis is guru. So, this Tasmat Gurum Prabhadeta Jigyasu Sri Uttama Shabdi Paricha Nishnatam Brahmano Pasham Asrayam. If this is there, Shabdi Paricha Nishnatam Shabdi Pari. When they speak, they reconcile matters of all of these shastras and represent them perfectly, inspirationally, inspiring hearts in Krishna consciousness. One side. So obviously there is a huge responsibility on somebody who's performing in the capacity of a teacher is that they know all the texts very well. Isn't it? You're going to hire a Prabhupada said you should know his books like a lawyer knows the law books. You need to take in a lawyer and you get to court and they're like, oh, I can't remember what's that law again. Oh, I don't know what the reference of that was. Oh, gosh. I know it's in there somewhere. You know? I'm sure, somebody did say at some point, some judge, it was a court ruling. I can't remember where it is. I'm sorry, everybody. You'll just have to take my word for it. You'll be kicked out of the court, isn't it? You'll be kicked out of the court. They have to speak with such precision. I remember watching the court case of Bhaktivedanta Manor, the public inquiry with the Appleby, I can't remember her name, the prostitute, whoever she was representing, closing down. She was speaking so, I mean, when you can't say anything wrong when you're a lawyer. Isn't it? It's like in jiu-jitsu, you know, you can't give some, you can't do all that fancy punching, you know, that we do in arts, martial arts. It's like giving people arms to break or legs to break. A devotee who's a jiu-jitsu teacher, he told me, he said, oh. He said, this is martial arts. This is not really, this is an art. It's not about fighting. He said, if you can kick at the speed of Bruce Lee, then kick someone. Or don't, but. Because they just, you know, they don't give anything. Because somebody will take it and twist it and break it. It's very, so the same way the lawyer, they say anything. They allude to anything, they'll be pulled to pieces. And everything they say has to be based on the text. Past case law or laws of whatever, now everything Europe. So I was listening to her and I was thinking, my gosh, back in the day that was, as a Brahmacharya, I was thinking, whoa, if I could speak Harikatha like she speaks, the laws and all that stuff, whoa, it would really make Britain Krishna consciousness. Krishna conscious. The speech, the instruction must be based on the Shastra, isn't it? And the great authorities, people who are recognized, Mahajan, now they've reached that status. You know how many songs Mirabai wrote? Nobody knows. Maybe just a few. Do you know how many are, considered to be her songs? They're endless. They're endless. People presented a very good thought consistent with the devotion of Mirabai to give the song tremendous authenticity. Put the name of Mira there at the end. And a lot of medieval traditions, that's what they did. It wasn't, they were plagiarizing. It was because the song had profound meaning. It was consistent with the author of the previous songs which had gained such recognition, pramanam. There's a great people do, isn't it? Lokastad. What's the verse? Yadyadacharati shrestas. Tad tadeva tarojana. Soyat pramanam kurute. What they do is pramanam. And everybody follows that pramanam. What they do is pramanam in itself because they're great people. It's established. It's pramanam. The Mahajans, that's it. What they do, what they say is pramanam. And everybody, lokas tadanava, it's good for everyone. It's pramanam. So, what point was I making? They speak with pramanam. How did they get to that point? Mahajans, before that, huh? Lawyers, they speak with pramanam. Oh yeah, Mira. You all forgot what I was talking about. That's time to stop then, isn't it? Because the name is put there on the song, it gains that status, that pramanam. However, some do come to such a level. But even they are Guru Shadu Sastravakya, speaking from these things. So the speech, I'll speed up now. The Vakya, Shabdapari, they know the Shastra. They know it. Whether they have a Bhakti Shastri degree or whatever, they know. When they speak, when they teach, they know the subject. They can recite, they can quote, they can refer. It's good. It's a good product. Very solid, isn't it? You hand an essay into university, you look through it, if it's just all your own ramblings, if you're an absolute genius, whatever, which it's not generally the case, they'll throw it back at you. What have you built your argument on? You haven't cited anything. So the citation is very important. And in that sense, the guru must be able to cite. When I first listened to Prabhupada's lectures, I hardly could understand anything. And he was continuously speaking verses and taking verses to pieces and explaining them. And everything was like, he just moved from verse to verse. Such, you know, that's substantial. So, Shabda Pari, Cha Nishnatam Brahma, Nishnatam Brahma. This is the second part. This is now coming to the behavior again. That they are situated such. They are situated such that they have a consistency in their devotional life over a good long period of time. They're solid in it. The literal situated in Brahman, which literally means in a generic way, situated in your spirituality, above the dualities of, you're not, you know, I'm having a bad day today, so I give you some really bad advice. You know, I'm sorry about that. They're Dukeshvanu Digdamana, Sukesha Vigita Spriha. The dualities of life, maybe they're all completely not affected by them, but they are stable amidst it, like this big boat here. The rishis are on the boat with you. They will be your light. They're stable. They're stable in their devotional life, and their life is consistent with the values, the principles, and the character of it. So these things must be there. Achara prachara namara kari du kariya. Both. Then, whether it has the label guru or it doesn't have the label guru, it's guru. It's recognized by its character, not by its label. It's recognized by its substance, not by the form of it or the name we've given it. So these both things must be there. Now, to just conclude, the reason I was going to actually talk about Krishna's partiality to devotees, but consider just the nature of this purport and that it's in complete contradiction to the text. And the text is actually of a higher status in terms of pramanam. Then obviously in translating commentaries and bringing them together here, Srila Prabhupada has put such a level of citation where he's quoting, well, here's the fact. Vishwanath has explained, he immediately refers to Vishwanath. He doesn't have a thought, you know. He said, Vishwanath has explained, like in the text here, it's saying this is Brahma's night. But Brahma's night, there's 14 manus in the life of the day of Brahma, and then his is night. So how can his night be in the Chakshush manu, which is in the middle of his day? So don't lose faith. Look, Vishwanath says that, well, that's because he felt sleepy in the day, and that came from a curse, whatever happened. And there, and this is substantiated by Rupa Goswami at length in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And not only Rupa has substantialized it so nicely, but that's consistent with the greatest commentator on the Bhagavat, which is Srila Sridhar Swami. So therefore accept it. It's not a whimsical matter here. But he substantiates because there's a conundrum here. Several conundrums are addressed here. That conundrum's addressed here. And the other one about, you know, saving the Vedas and saving Satyavrata. And then so they say, no, this is two different matsyas. This is two different situations. There was two, you know, in every yuga there's a different. So these things are reconciled. This is where mental speculation for a devotee is recognized and accepted. And this is Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas establishes this point. Where the verse in itself does not make, it's not, the understanding's not there, then one must consider it with regards to the body of literature. And with regards to the body of literature, then one will conclude on that specific verse. That's speculation, that's recognized. That's what you would call, what do they call it? Exegesis. Exegesis. You're going through the texts, you're looking at them, you find this, that, and you find the reconciliation. And this Shastric exegesis here, in the purport, it's mentioning something which is slightly different. Now for us bhaktas, Whether it's the day, whether it's the night, whether it's the mahurt, it's what's being conveyed to us. That those who are ekantik, ekanta janapriya priyam, the Lord was endeared by the Satyavrata because he was ekanta janapriya. He was ekantik in his bhakti. So the Lord came to him. This is what's important for us here as we're aspiring for bhakti. I don't know if I'll ever understand the process of creation. I don't know if I'll ever really understand the Chakshush Manu, Swayam, the 14 Manus, the day of Brahma, Brahma's breaths, and the Sattvas and the Pradhan. But what I do understand is that in all my inadequacies, that Krishna will come for me. Despite these things. Because he's partial. Because he loves me, he's partial. And I am depending on his partiality. I don't care what the Vedas say about his neutrality. Udashina, Vidashina. I know that he is partial. I am depending entirely on his partiality. And that's what I gain from this. Whether Brahma was awake or sleeping, whether it was the end of his day, let the great souls figure that out. And people who get stuck on these things, they sort it out for them. Others don't require it. They just go, this is Krishna, you know. This is Krishna Bhakti. Krishna will be there for us. Just accept it. Let the heart be reconciled. Whether we know what was all said in the Sanskrit at the conclusion of that purport, that's okay. But what we do know is that we culture this resolute devotion to Krishna, Sharanagata, that no matter what, with all discrepancies, Krishna will be there for us. He's kind that way. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.